You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. You can be a part on the lines or on the text, 855-752-4842, 855-75-Civic. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board and on the lines for you. We're going to carry over this topic for, just another segment. Want to give people a chance to chime in and offer your opinions. The topic of the moment, 22-year-old from Appleton who died after his inhaler price skyrocketed. This happened last January of 24. His parents are suing. They're suing Walgreens, and they're suing this other organization that, I guess, the middleman that gets in there and, you know, gets some rebates to help, you know, work the process, suggesting and saying that, you know, their actions and lack of offering other options essentially killed their child. 855-752-4842. Optimum RX was the other company other than the Walgreens that is being sued by this company. It's terrible. Just to highlight a couple of the notes here, then we'll get to the phones. 855-75-CIVIC. The family said that the lawsuit argues the PBMs are an oligopoly, and that they dictate patients' medications based on their own financial interests. Yeah, you think so? That's exactly what they do. It was also said that the reason that this change in this gentleman's prescription happened was because they decided to have a different supplier, who, according to the lawsuit, the complaint, was receiving kickbacks. And, of course, there's money. But they also said, Optimum RX, that the decision was not medically motivated. No.
He's motivated by something.
How many decisions these folks making are, in fact, medically motivated?
None.
Because they're all money motivated.
In fact, their motivation is to deny.
Yes.
Their motivation is to delay.
Deny. And further, the victim in this case, the gentleman's name is Cole, was not provided the 30 days notice required by Wisconsin law that the medication would no longer be covered under the new formulary, so he did not have the opportunity to request an exemption. And of course, it goes on from there. So that's kind of a recap of that story. Good luck to the family suing. We do need changes here. It's shameful that in this country that we have otherwise perfectly healthy young adults at the age of 22 in Appleton, Wisconsin, dying for lack of access to an inhaler. An inhaler. The price went up to like almost $540 for a 22-year-old. And this is what, a monthly? I mean, how are you going to afford that? And I really wonder the price, $539.19. Don't want to overestimate here. What does it cost, you know, this company to make that? Would be a question, right? How much money do you need? Another question. We need some changes in this. And until we do, and it is unfortunate, and that's why we're talking about it. Because this is Appleton, Wisconsin, man. I grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin. You know, these are our friends and our neighbors, and it could be you, could be anybody. Anyone gets sick. If we don't have our ducks in a row, we don't get the right service from our pharmacy or our doctors and our health system, you end up dead. Dead. And dead people don't pay premiums. Dead people don't pay deductibles. And we shouldn't have a situation where if you've got to stay alive, you're essentially beholden to whatever medication there has to be. I mean, what, you're gonna make everyone servants to Big Pharma because you can't live without it? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let's get to our very patient callers. Thank you for joining. Thank you for sticking around. Matt from Middleton, you will be next. Welcome, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Victor Fuchs, the famous economist professor, died in 2023, wrote many books about healthcare. He was the first economist to really tackle it. And he said long ago that America would always have financial problems without universal health care, a proponent of single payer. And us FDR Democrats this year need to get very strong on that health care topic and push universal, because it would have made Bernie Sanders a winner, I believe, in 2016. A lot of people are suffering with illnesses, mental, physical. I've known some in my life, and it's heartbreaking. And every other country in the world has some form of universal, even the autocracies, the dictatorships, the socialists, the communists, whatever. Everybody else but us. So, yeah.
And it's not, Matt, it's not, this is not like reinventing the wheel. You know what I mean? I mean, this thing is done. No. Not only in those other countries, as you rightfully point out, Matt, but we already have probably, what, a third of Americans, 100 million plus Americans on some sort of quote unquote governmental system. We got Medicare, we got Medicaid, we got all the folks that are in the service and in government and all these different, you know, places that you know, rely on that healthcare that is already being administered by quote unquote the government.
Not to mention all the doctors want single payer. They're sick of this stuff.
But, you know, thanks, Matt. You're absolutely right. My doctor, my personal doctor a couple of years ago was like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm like, come on, man, you're not that old. He's a few years older than me. He just couldn't handle the BS anymore. He's like, I'm done with it. Done with it. Retiring, chasing qualified medical professionals out of the industry because they got to deal with these folks that are just trying to pad their pockets as much as possible. And I get it. You got to make money. I mean, I understand that. But to what end? To what end? And it's not like we can't do this. We have Medicare. I know for all Medicare, there's funding and all da 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 da. Whatever. It's there. We have it. Most folks on Medicare that I'm aware of are like it and would like it expanded, like more offerings. Like, and those folks that are not on it, like, I don't know, like me and lots of other people would like to have access to that. We're able to, you know, provide healthcare for our armed forces, right? Go down the list and tell me that we can't do this. Of course we can. We're not. And you got to wonder and ask the question, why aren't we? Well, because it's the money, man. People are making money. And it as much as I hate violence, the killing of that executive brought this sick, twisted industry in bare light. When you start talking about it, the guy was making like $10 million a year, if I recall, $1 million in salary plus. I mean, and for what? Making that off of the people that what get denied the service, they get less medical attention than they perhaps need. And you slide in these other, you know, organizations that are going to, you know, help with the administration and the efficiency and da 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 da. Well, okay, so what, they're buying in bulk and getting rebates, according, if I'm interpreting the lawsuit here? If we can do it for all these other situations, we can do it for everyone if we have the will to stand up and say we're done with this, that we are done with this. We are done. So besides the insurance industry making money by denying claims and raising rates, right? They also benefit from the market that they're in. And let me tell you what I mean. If you're old, well, hell, you're going to be on Medicare, right? And that's what we do. Medicare is for helping the old folks. Well, the old folks, they probably have, I don't know, more medical issues than, say, the victim in this case, young Cole at 22. Generally speaking, right? That segment of the marketplace, that segment of the market, the old folks that have the high cost of healthcare, well, they're on Medicare. That's socialized, baby. Right? What else? Oh, the poor. Yeah, the poor. Medicaid. Now, you know, Republicans want to do away with Medicaid as well, but we have Medicaid to help out the poor. And I would argue also probably higher cost of medical for the poor people just because of environment, nature, nurture, all those things, right? I think there's that there are higher costs. So, but oh, don't worry about that because those folks, oh, come on, it's a socialized medicine and Medicaid. Talk about like armed forces and so forth. You know, if you're in a war, if you're handling heavy equipment, if you're getting shot at, call it, right? Well, those folks are probably high cost, let alone go to the mental challenges, you know, after being in a war zone, right? Well, those folks, it's going to cost a lot to take care of those people. Well, don't worry about it. That's socialized. So what's left? Generally speaking, what's left are the middle of the road, because now you can keep kids on the ACA until 27, and, you know, the Medicare doesn't kick in until, I don't know what the dates are now, but 60s. So now you have basically what's left. You have a body, a market of customers that are the healthiest they are, that they're healthy as they're going to be. Like, if you look at that statistically, those are the folks that are paying the money to these insurance companies. So they, as an industry, the old, those in dangerous situations, the poor, that's all socialized. We have socialized healthcare for that. But when you have the sweet spot in the middle, the folks that really, statistically speaking, don't use the healthcare as much, well, we can stick it to them. And that's where the money's at. And that's exactly what they do. And they're making gobs and gobs and gobs of money doing that. And I just find that just wrong.
Shameful.
Shame. For real. I mean, why would we do that? Why would we allow that? Well, we don't have to. It's just the way it is now. There was a day back in the, you know, oh, there's a social contract. Come on, let me tell you something. The guy who's been in business, and I have paid and processed payments for healthcare. And some companies are great, and they cover all the healthcare costs for their employees. And some don't. They cover a portion of it. But nobody that I know of that goes into any industry, manufacturing, making stuff, or service industries, going into it saying, you know what I want to do? I can't wait to put up my shingle so I can get in the healthcare distribution industry to provide healthcare for my employees. Nobody wants that. If you lose your insurance, that stifles entrepreneurship. There's all sorts of reasons why this should change. You tell me if I'm wrong. 855-752-4842. Coming back with your calls.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Talking a little health care today, a little longer than I had imagined, but folks are fired up about it, and I think for good reason.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Again, you know, lamenting the death of a young man in Appleton, Wisconsin, back in January of 24, whose inhaler price skyrocketed to just under $540 and couldn't afford it, ended up dying because of it. His family is now suing, and we wish them well. Now, we're talking, you know, I guess, generally philosophically about why, how are we in this situation? And I just got a problem with it, man. You look at the numbers of how many people in this country that are on some sort of quote-unquote government healthcare. Look at the other nations, as some of the callers have pointed out, around the world that have this. I think it is a right. I mean, how is it not a right? You have a right. Do you have a right to breathe clean air?
For now.
You got to pay for that, right? Oh man, you know, we just can't break everything down to the dollars and cents of it all. And especially when you have folks that are in there that make their money by denying the claims, by literally denying the healthcare that people need, is how people can, how these organizations can pay out their bonuses and pay their salaries of their executives and so on and so forth. And let's be honest, and pay the stockholders as well. I mean, there are a lot of people.
There's a lot of hands.
And there's a lot of hands. There's money to be made in it. And if the denial of care is the business plan, I think maybe you're in the wrong business, or maybe we need to rethink the business.
And not only just denying care, necessary, absolutely vital care, but making the system so complicated and intentionally frustrating that people give up.
Right. Yeah, that's the other side of it. We kind of
I had this last week trying to access my insurance card because the insurance didn't send me a physical card. I only have access to it on the app. I couldn't log into the app. Put in the correct username, put in the correct password, couldn't get in.
Come on, Boomer, are you sure?
Yes, absolutely positive. And it wasn't telling me your password's wrong, your username is wrong. It just said, we can't access that right now. Call the toll-free number.
Or call customer service.
Yeah.
We're here for you.
We're here for you. Uh-huh.
855-752-4842. We are here for you. Let's keep going on the lines. Mary from Tulsa, you are up. Welcome, Mary. What are your thoughts today?
Hi, Dom and Justin. Thanks for highlighting this terrible problem and most positive energies to the parents who are taking their tragedy to court. So I'm calling with some history on how we've gotten onto the pharmaceutical bandwagon of every pill for every ill, you know, and treatment of illness after the fact. Rather than lifestyle medicine, preventive medicine. My sources, when I got in the early days, when I got on the healthy lifestyle path, my sources said that in the early days of medical schools and development of hospitals, some very wealthy people with ties to the pharmaceutical industry got its people on the boards of these schools and the hospitals, and they influenced them in going down the pharmaceutical path. You know, and treatment after the fact rather than wellness path. And so I take supplements every day, but most of them they're called nutraceuticals. They're food-based rather than chemicals out of a lab. And healthy lifestyle, you know, if people were to start a look at that, you know, meaning healthy diet, exercise, activity, stress reduction, and healthy sleep, you know, can prevent a lot of the illnesses.
Yeah, they certainly can, Mary. But that's, you know, if you have asthma, though, as a kid, you know what I mean? You can eat all the spinach you want. It's not going to affect that. Sure, and there is, and thanks for the call and for sharing your thoughts. And no doubt about that. And some of the things I think you'll hear the conservative, those who are not down with us, well, we don't want the lifestyle of these folks. You know, it's nature nurture, as I have said something before. Yeah, I mean, there are unhealthy lifestyles, no question about it. And there are products. If you look at our food industry as it is, I mean, if you can't pronounce some of the words on the ingredients of what you're eating, maybe you shouldn't eat it.
Some of those words are just hard to pronounce.
They are. So I think there is that. No, I don't want to pay for, you know, this person's that and that person's this. Well, okay, but you're doing that in all these other circumstances. We're doing it for our armed forces. We're doing it for the government employees. We're doing it for Medicaid recipients, for Medicare recipients, for the Affordable Care Act folks. I mean, we're doing this to some degree already. So you can't say that it cannot be done. And you're going to have lifestyle issues, and you can't mandate that. You know, you're not going to make everyone get in their gray sweatpants and go out and do calisthenics. You know, it seems very, I don't know, we'll see what happens with RFK Jr. and his bright ideas. But that seems very weird to me. So yeah, we certainly embrace and encourage a healthy lifestyle. The other side of this is that as well, as you talk about folks that have, you know, lacking the wherewithal, the means, hell, even lacking, you know, grocery stores in the neighborhood to get fresh food. I mean, that's a difficult thing as well. So there's no doubt that there's lots of issues tied up into, you know, how an individual's health is. Certainly it is their the genetics to a large degree, certainly, their lifestyle, their diet, their exercise or lack thereof, those their mental health and how that's managed as well. Lots of different variables to that. But that's for same for everybody. So if it's the same for everybody, that makes it normal. You know, so all those things everybody's got to deal with. Every single person, every citizen of this country, every citizen of the world is dealing with that. The question is, when we the people decide through our government to promote the general welfare of its citizens, decide to carve out, you know, a big segment of the market, you know, the healthy folks, and those are the ones that are going to be in the private healthcare industry, while the folks that are going to cost more, they're going to be in the public, call it subsidized social healthcare. Well, come on, man, you're just taking it off the top. Those folks, if we put everyone in the same pool, I would surmise that prices would go generally down. But of course, then you're not going to have the millionaires getting their bonuses by not providing the medical, meeting the medical demand of their customers, patients, neighbors, citizens, friends, sons, and daughters. 855-752-4842. Come back with us. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. My Google math says about one-third of the population of the great United States of America is on some sort of governmental health care, like 120-plus million people. We can do it for 120 million. We could do it for the other two-thirds. I'm just saying, I may got to change your mindset a little bit, maybe. You know, the way that things have been aren't the ways that they should be, and we have it within our capabilities, our abilities to change that. We've heard from some politicians, Bernie Sanders was a big one, proponent of Medicare for all. I think a lot of folks still think along those lines, and I wonder if something like that were to happen in this country, would young Cole from Appleton still be alive today? I would think so. What are the bankruptcies? I mean, most bankruptcies, again, to my recollection, are the result of medical bankruptcies. You
Indeed.
Can't pay the bills.
Mm-hmm. We just got a text in from Tyler from Columbia County. My roommate had received insurance through his work 2 years ago. 1 year ago, he got sick and had to use it. Only after a trip through urgent care, upon checkout, he learned that his was no longer valid. Upon investigating, both his workplace and the insurance company failed to notify him. So he's still paying off a couple $1,000 bill because of it. He was offered the insurance again this year, decided to use the marketplace instead.
I mean, again, that'd be, I think, highly illegal if you have insurance for your employer and they don't pay the bill and the insurance goes away or whatever, they decide not to offer it anymore. They got to tell the people.
Yeah, but what do you do? If you don't have the money to hire a lawyer.
Yeah, right. If you don't have money to pay the bill, you don't have money to hire a lawyer. You know, I mean, good luck there. Yeah. It's a downward spiral from there. 855-752-4842. I think my insurance, like $2,000 a month, pay for my employer, and it's a high deductible plan with stuff. So yeah, man, you know, you're talking about $20,000 to $30,000 a year for one employee to have health insurance, and that's a high deductible $10,000
insurance that they just laugh at you until you reach that high deductible,
right?
And then they'll pay for things.
And then they'll pay. But that's still a percentage, and you got copays and all that kind of thing. So,
but for the first, what is it for you? $6,000. They just
Right.
They see the bill and they go, it depends, that's nice.
It depends on how the company works. You know, you could have that the company will, you know, sponsor some of that or pay for some of that. But again, it's entirely subjective to the organization that you work with.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so we talk about bankruptcies. We talk about, you know, number one is preventing deaths like this young man, Cole from Appleton, who died because from asthma. I mean, what, can't breathe? That's a hell of a way to go, man.
Terrible way to go.
You talk about the bankruptcies, right? You talk that we already have a track record with providing adequate health care for Medicare, Medicaid, those kinds of folks. A third of the people in this country have some sort of governmental sponsored kind of health care plan. We talk about that. And take away these slide-ins, these third parties, the folks that are going to come in and make it more efficient for everybody. That are just
Where have I heard that before recently?
Playing economies of scale. The pharmacy benefit manager, the PBMs that are essentially what? Owned by the healthcare, or these health companies themselves, or a subsidiary thereof. And they process, according to the article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the three largest PBMs, again, CVS, Caremark, Express Scripts, and Optimum Rx. Now, Optimum Rx is one being sued by the family. They process close to 80%, that's three of these organizations, 80% of the 6.6 billion prescriptions dispensed by pharmacies around the United States. And that's the three. You throw in another three, that's 95% of the prescriptions in this country going through those organizations. Now, why are they sliding them in there? You know what I mean? It's not saving you money. 855-752-4842. Callers, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your conversations. The text lines are going off. I can't get to them. Jess, if you see anything pop up, please let me know. Because callers always get preferential treatment around here. Let's go to Tim from Wales. You are up, Tim. Thank you for your patience. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, I ran into the same problem, wife and kids and prescriptions for my daughter's got ADHD. I've got two kids on inhalers. I ran into the same thing. My daughter's medicine was like $280. The inhalers were over $200. I found a thing called GoodRx. It's free for a base, and then you have to pay like $30 a year if you want to go to the premium. You type your prescription in and how far you're willing to drive, and it will tell you what the lowest cost is for that medicine. So the person's medicine up in Appleton at Meijer, that same prescription is $53.
Wow.
There's no copay. You don't have to. So even though I have United Healthcare, I don't have to use my insurance. I use this discount card.
Sure.
And it's ridiculous on how cheap it is. And Amazon has one where it's Jeff Bezos has it, that it's cost of the prescription plus a $5 fee, and that's all you pay. And they send it to you in the mail.
Interesting. Tim, what about like overseas? You know, I always talk about
it helps everybody else out.
Well, but that's – so what's the thing? So you go through your established business lines, and you get your insurance offer through your company. You go through them, and they're jacking the price. You can go online to this GoodRx that you're referring to and get it cheaper. I mean, certainly you should check that out. Even with a copay, you know, that's pretty cheap. And what about, like, overseas, man? Canada. We always talk about, Canada. You know, a lot of these pharmaceutical companies, their R&D work done here, right? So we essentially subsidize that, and then they sell it cheaper in other markets because – what? Because they can get it from us, Tim.
Right.
Man, thanks.
It doesn't mean it's right. It's just one of those things that it helps out your pocket.
Yeah, Tim, but let me ask you, though. What is right, man? What do you think? I mean, I'm down for Medicare for all, dude. That's where I'm at these days. What do you think?
Definitely. I'm definitely up for Medicare for all.
Yeah. All right.
You know, it helps everybody.
It does. And we're all in the market, Tim. You know what I mean? And that was one of my issues with the Obamacare. They just called it a tax and tried to get around calling it a tax. It's not a tax. Mm-hmm. No. That whole thing was weird. That they didn't have to do it that way. But there is one thing for sure. We're all in the market. You know what I mean?
Right.
You came here in the market. You're going to leave in the market. You're in the market. You know, and if people, I don't want to be a part of it. Well, okay, you're going to go live out in the woods and whatever until you get rabies, you get bit by a bat. Now you're going to come in and now you want it. Oh, it's like oh, we're fire insurance. We're not going to have fire insurance. I don't want fire insurance. I'm going to let my house burn. Okay, your house burns, but the house next to you has quote unquote fire insurance, and they're going to come out and put that one out. Well, it just makes sense to have everybody in it. Otherwise, you're going to let things go, and then that will damage. If you let one house burn, it's going to damage the other house. You're going to put them all out. Again, oh my God, a social. No, man, it's we the people. We the people. Let's change our format, our way we think about these things. And we're talking about our health, our livelihood, our ability to get up and do the things and pursue that happiness.
Absolutely. But to Tim's point here, GoodRx is a lifesaver. GoodRx, I don't know what kickbacks they're getting. I don't know what they're getting from it.
How it works, why they're
getting it. But I have seen.
Yeah.
That it really will save hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a lot of these prescriptions. And it will show you the pharmacies near you and what the price will be for that drug at that pharmacy. So if you are in a situation where your prescription or a loved one's prescription is just untenable, you just cannot afford it, check on GoodRx.
All right. Thank you, Tim, for the update. GoodRx. Thank you, Jess, for your endorsement as well. I mean, this is, I don't know. You know, these are the things we that's why we're talking, folks. That's why we hang out together. 855-752-4842. Let's keep going on it. Patrick from Milwaukee, who will be next. Welcome, Patrick. What do you got for us? Hello, Patrick.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, yeah, welcome. How you doing? Yes.
Hey. Hey there. Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I appreciate the time. I just I appreciate the conversation too. I think this is a especially because I like to take a step back from this sort of thing and think like you mentioned earlier, it's very popular to a policy as a policy, and we're like one of the only developed nation that doesn't have a single payer health care system. So you just have to wonder why. And I really think that the messaging around it has largely failed. If you look at any major poll of something like a single payer system, it's always very popular. It's very, very popular. It just makes you wonder why it doesn't get endorsed and it doesn't get lobbied for. And there's just a wide failure to implement it. And I think the big one is that the messaging around the affordability is just not there. Most systems that have, single payer systems. Obviously, there's going to be an increase on your tax that you're paying as a citizen of a nation, but it's going to be a net save when you're not paying for healthcare every month. Like you mentioned, your premiums that's outrageous, money's the biggest money talks. Right. Everybody wants to know how much they're going to save, how much they have to spend. I mean, this past election was pretty much a referendum on inflation, so it's like. I really just believe that if you hammer home as a communicator of policy that it's going to save you money, I feel like that's going to help move the needle. And I think that there's been a failure in that sense.
Yeah, that's a great point, Patrick. And thank you for making it. You're absolutely right. And those that would come out against a single payer or Medicare for all kind of system, oh, your taxes didn't go up. Well, yeah, maybe. But yeah, here this is, we got to throw in the pool of money that you're putting out of your pocket in its entirety for that healthcare system, right? So it's not just your taxes that go to support Medicare and Medicaid, those other things. What are you paying for your premium? Or what is your employer paying for those premiums? You got to throw that into the mix as well. You got to look at total cost out of pocket, not just your taxes. And I would agree with you, Patrick, given the economies of scale and given the fact that, the people that are in, the two-thirds of the people that are in the private marketplace are probably the healthiest, quote unquote, of the ones out there, the ones that are cheapest to insure, to provide that healthcare to, I think the prices would go down overall. Price being out of pocket taxes plus your out of pocket insurance premiums and your, I think you got to throw your employers out there as well. And then also, again, on top of that, the administration costs for governmental provided healthcare is way below industry averages for private healthcare on top of that. And then throw in just the simple fact that, what I don't want to do is I don't want to process and pay for people's healthcare as a business owner. That's not why we're in business. We are in business to provide the widget, to make the widget, to provide the service for our customers. We are not in business. Nobody is in business to provide healthcare for their employees. This is a social contract, quote unquote, but it's sure gotten really expensive, and the more expensive it's gotten it seems like the richer some of these folks have gotten. I think there, you know, there seems to be a correlation. Let's squeeze one more in on this break. Oh, man, we got Mike Clements coming up next.
Yeah, we do.
All right, Jack from the Mac, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Okay, first of all, I'm on Medicare. The economy of scale is such that I could not afford to be on any other insurance because the deductibles and the copay are just so much lower than anything I've ever had in the past that it is amazing. Secondly, there are death panels. They're called insurance adjusters, and they can say, oh, no, you don't have a valid reason to have that medical treatment, so we're not going to pay for it. So, you know, that's our modern insurance industry, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Thank you. Thank you, Jack. Thanks for sharing. We do appreciate it. Well, I mean, we kind of went on this topic a little longer than I had intended. I had so many other things to get to, but I appreciate folks engaging. And this, obviously, is a super important issue. And unfortunately, it is unfortunate that it takes the death of a young man in Appleton, Wisconsin, a January of 24, who couldn't get a reasonably priced inhaler. It was too expensive. And he ended up dying. Had an asthma attack and died. Choked out. I mean, think about that. I mean, come on, people. We don't have to live like that. Come back with us. Something good. Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports Reporter. We're going to catch up with him. He's going to check out the Super Bowl. But I'm paying attention to the NBA. Lots of trades. The Bucks traded Middleton. Come back with us. We'll get updated.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, our last segment of the day, and I'm super, super happy telling you something good. Well, right now it's good. Mike Clemens, Civic Media's own sports reporter, out on the road checking in with us. Mike, thank you for answering the call. We have lots to talk about, not a whole lot of time. I know you're on the road. You got the coolest job, man, down in New Orleans for the Super Bowl coming up here real soon. Mike, let me ask you, the Milwaukee Bucks, breaking news today. They have traded Middleton. I want to get your sense on what's going on in the NBA. Same thing out in L.A. as well. Anthony Davis being traded out of L.A. and swapped for, what's his name, Luka out in Dallas. Mike, welcome back, man. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Dom. Yeah. You know, there's always that initial shock because Chris Middleton's been around with the Bucks for 12 years. I mean, there was a time where he and Giannis were the best of friends, and they've literally grown up together. Mm-hmm. They've gone through all kinds of family things and losses. When those two guys came together in Milwaukee, the Bucks had only won 15 games that season. So you think about the gradual things, you know, the coaches that they went through, the roster changes they went to finally build to that championship year a couple of years ago. And then was it 2 years ago that Giannis was injured and Middleton was out there and, you know, carrying the water. I mean, got them through the playoffs and had the hot hand. And then Chris injured his ankle last year. And toward the end of the season, he told Jim Mirzowski, who's the beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, goes, you know, what really concerns me is that I haven't injured an ankle like this since I was a kid and with the Pistons. And Jim said, you know, and what happened? He goes, that's when I got traded. Oh, and I don't want to get traded. But last summer, he had injured both ankles by the end of the season. He went in and they said, you know, if you got to have both done. You can't hobble around on one while you wait to the other, or it'll take forever for you to come back. So he agrees to have both ankles operated on. The target date that they thought he could be back by the summer or the start of their training was maybe October 23rd, just about in time for the season opener. There was a report from ESPN that says, oh, yeah, he's going to be medically cleared, which he was furious about because he felt he had not been medically cleared. And so Middleton did not get back on until like the 6th or 7th of December. And you could tell that not only Doc Rivers, but the rest of the team was getting impatient. It's like, okay, well, I understand. If you still got pain, if it still doesn't feel right, you're concerned it's not 100% yet, and you don't want to re-injure it and set yourself back. And he just signed that three-year deal that was worth over $100 million.
Right.
He wanted to finish his time. He wanted to finish his time with the Bucks, and now he's going to the worst team in the Eastern Conference, to the Wizards, with 8 wins.
We got Mike Clemens, Civic Media's sports reporter, on the road talking about Milwaukee Bucks. What about the trade? We got like 3 players from the Wizards for Chris Middleton. Any thoughts on them?
But they, you know, I'm still trying to figure out, Dom, what do the Wizards get out of this? why are they taking a 33-year-old 6'7" man with 2 bad ankles that's had this ankle tendonitis, you know, in the last month and was unable to play? They gave up Patrick Baldwin Jr., who came from the Milwaukee area, back from Sussex High, and then Kyle Kuzma, who's a little bit younger, not that much, that they're coming to the Bucks. Bucks also gave up A.J. Johnson, who they just drafted.
All right.
They're swapping second-round picks, but I have not seen or heard anything confirmed as to – I'm assuming that the Bucks gave a higher second round to Washington in place of their second round. So that might be the thing that put it over. I've heard, though – I mean, Gary Wolfel's covered the Bucks for 30 years for the Racine Journal Times down in Racine, and he was talking about this on – he told me this last summer. He says, they're going to trade Middleton. They're all denying it right now. But you watch, they're going to trade Middleton. Well – it took until January, but they traded Middleton. Because you know something? As soon as they brought in Damian Lillard, I think Chris's fate was pretty much sealed.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it was obvious that Chris was playing hurt. I mean, he really had been. And as of the last couple of weeks, I've been watching it, you know, try to turn everything else off, Mike, and just pay attention, have some fun, watch some sports. He's kind of come into his own. He's seen some of that spark back. But it was kind of too little too late. He was dragging on for so long in this season. And Chris Middleton, man, he won a championship here with Giannis. He will always be loved in this city. Mike, we just got a couple of minutes left. Chiefs versus Eagle. I'm seeing a line. The Chiefs are giving up 1.5, over under 48.5 in 2 minutes. Mike, what's your expectation? Who are you calling? Who's winning this Super Bowl?
Well, the Philadelphia Eagles are a very, very physical team, but it's Patrick Mahomes and it's Andy Reid, and they will figure out a way to outcoach you and outsmart you, and so that's why the odds makers have got them up by 1.5. I'm still waiting for now the pool report. Both teams having their first practices down here, so we want to find out what's going on with the like center and left guard offensive line for the Eagles. That is something to keep an eye on, and some of the Chiefs injuries as well. Other than that, they should be ready to go for Sunday at 5:30. But you know, the Super Bowl is also the convention of the NFL. You know who I got to talk to today?
Who?
Josh Jacobs, the Packers. Running back.
Yeah.
Had a great conversation with him.
How about Davante Adams? We've got 30 seconds, Mike. I've seen reporting about Davante Adams maybe coming back. What do you know?
Well, Josh is he's standing up on a soapbox right now and saying, we need a number one. And Christian Watson's not coming back till November. Bring in Davante. And so that's his stance here at the Super Bowl.
All right. Mike Clemens, Civic Media sports reporter down at the Big Easy. Mike, thanks for checking in, man. We'll talk to you real soon. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for participating in today's great show. Thank you, Jess, for all that you do. Folks, stick around. Pete Schwabe with Nightlight is coming up next. We'll be back here tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.